Hello, you're listening to the Trade Show Minute on Rave Radio. You can find us at ravepubs.com under the Rave Radio tab. I'm your host, Gary Kirk, coming to you from ISE 2019. I'm joined by Jen Uner from Oblong. Tell me a little bit about Oblong.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm back again with my face for radio. Oblong Industries, this is our fifth year at ISE. We're in Hall 11, B140 is our stand number, and we're really all about multi-stream collaboration, enabling organizations, educational institutions, and businesses collaborate better across distance on any kind of project that might be particularly visual in nature or particularly urgent in nature. Particularly important high-value client pitch, for example. It's really all about helping teams see more, share more, and do more in the work that they do together.
That sounds very exciting. In the world that we live today, a world of immediate gratification, a world of visual stimulation, you have to have those things front and center. And if you're not up in the front of that, you've lost. So that sounds pretty exciting. So what do you guys have planned for ISE 2019?
So at ISE, we're kind of excited this year because we're doing what may be a first, which is we're bridging the aisle between the Oblong booth and the Cisco booth. We have a product demo that is a meeting session that is going to be taking place simultaneously in both booths. And I don't know if this has ever been done before.
So a true real world demo. On the demo.
Yeah. Well, and you can actually, because we're just literally bridging the aisle, you know, the thing that's really cool about our technology is we're fairly device agnostic. So, you know, we're using the Cisco codecs. We like the Cisco codecs for video teleconferencing, but it could be Polycom or Lifesize, or there's a whole laundry list, actually, a white list. Sorry, mm-hmm. I shouldn't call it a laundry list, of wonderful video teleconferencing solutions that we can bring into the Mezzanine system. So you could be using the technology that's most important to you. You may have a vendor relationship that's preferred over others for whatever reason, and we don't really have a feeling in particular about that, because it's a stream coming into the Mezzanine system. All that being said, we do love Cisco. We're an official integration partner of theirs, and the thing that's cool now too is we're integrating with the room kits. Mm-hmm. We've done some special work on that, and then also what we're showing at this ISE is integration with a WebEx board. So we've got a WebEx Teams session connecting us to the Cisco booth with a WebEx board integrated into a Mezzanine system. So what does that mean? That means that you have the ability to annotate with touch right on the WebEx board of content that is in the Mezzanine system. And you can pull that content from your main workspace to the WebEx board and back. And so it's really taking some of those tools that you are familiar with and love from the Cisco mm-hmm. universe and bringing it into the Mezzanine experience and environment so that you can get more done with it.
So let's back up real quick. The Mezzanine system, what exactly is that? Because I've never personally used a Mezzanine system.
Oh my goodness, you need to come see us.
So what am I missing out on?
So it's something you really have to experience firsthand. You have to really understand it, you have to see it. A Mezzanine system is typically multiple screens on one surface, perhaps additional screens on other surfaces in your meeting space. And with a gesture wand, which is proprietary to us, you can actually grab content and basically bring it all the way around the room.
So this sounds like my son's PlayStation or something.
Yeah, I mean, some people call it Wii for work.
Wii, yeah, there we go. Wii for work, I like that.
Should be saying that, I guess.
Hey, if you can incorporate play into work, I think we could get more people to show up to work.
You know, we actually have metrics around this. We have mm-hmm. metrics around engagement. And when you can make the environment much more interactive. And when you can empower people at that table to contribute simultaneously and to control the workspace simultaneously, engagement goes through the roof. And yes. So, you know, some people might think of it as a little bit gamey. And frankly, if you don't want to use the wand, you don't have to. Mm-hmm. You can use a touch, like an iPad, to control content in the room. You could use your web interface. In mm-hmm. fact, we have a brand new mezzanine application that we're debuting here at ISE, mm-hmm. which takes some of the best properties of what we were calling Screencast and our web app and mm-hmm. Some other utilities for connecting rooms.
Right.
Mezz in. If you can't be in the room, you can sure. mezz in. So we've basically taken a lot of these controls and put them all into one central app that helps you control content and experience more seamlessly and fluidly. And it's based on feedback from our customers.
I think it's an interesting approach too, because watching how technology has developed over the last decade or two, we went from this almost disconnected world, and now we're moving back into a tactile feedback type world. So in some ways we're moving forward, but in other ways we're bringing things from our past and incorporating them back into it. So, I like to read, but I also like to be able to touch those pages and turn them, even though I read plenty on my phone and my Kindle or whatever. But, using this in a business real world, having those, objects that you interact with, I think it's an interesting merger of the old and the new.
Well, it's really about, and that's part of John Underkoffler's vision, our CEO. It's really about bringing natural user interfaces to the fore, right? Mm-hmm. It's about taking a human-centered design approach to, like, how do you communicate with people? How do you get stuff done? And, we've spent a lot of time in this sort of, like, digital, single-user, hierarchical sort of world where it's permissions-based and can you access and control and contribute? That's all sort of, like, very much how do you say it? Too many guardrails created by the technology, right?
Yeah.
And so we've been very singularly focused on breaking down those barriers so mm-hmm. that it's really easy for people to connect and contribute, even simultaneously, right? Because if you have to wait for permission to say or do something, the moment is lost. You have trouble
exactly
making your
right.
point, and maybe you don't want to interrupt, and like you don't want to say something because you think it's going to be too much to let me show you this stream of content about the thing that we're talking mm-hmm. about. If you have to stop and pause and ask for permission to do those things, to take over, mm-hmm. It's a lot of people just opt out of that, and they're less engaged. They're now suddenly checking their email instead of participating
yeah.
in the meeting.
And if you can make those people that are joining from a distance feel as though they're really there, because we've had that connectivity for a while now, but you don't feel like you're part of the meeting if you're not the one that's in the main room of the
yeah.
meeting. So that's an interesting approach.
One, it's about giving them the same control, access, and power as
yeah.
anybody who's in the room, to be able to share and even arrange content mm-hmm. in the space. And so the whole idea of multi-stream collaboration is that you're removing the barriers and you're enabling people to work at their very, very best. And one of the things that we have found, statistically speaking, I wanted to make sure I didn't miss sharing this with you. We've just started tracking, with the permission of our customers, how often are multiple streams of content coming into a meeting? Because everyone is still so focused on, like, I got one screen up there, I'm going to put my one stream of content up
sure.
there. Like, that's sort of like the standard. And so we wanted to see how much does the availability to multi-stream, how often is that chosen, and mm-hmm. how often are people using it? And we are seeing that it is truly transforming workflows. Having multi-stream collaboration, we're finding that 62% of instances when sharing is going on in mezzanine, they're sharing multiple streams. And 42% of the time, so the majority of the time, they're also sharing more than three things at once.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that really, I think, validates mm-hmm. How impactful it is to be able to bring people together
yeah.
and all of their stuff together, whether
yeah.
they're in the room or not in the room.
doesn't just give them a visual presence or a look into the room. It puts their stream of consciousness in the room with them.
So in fact, our CEO, he calls it a brain projector.
I like that. So for me, I'm a broadcast and AV engineer in the higher education world. How is your product going to change my life? Why should I go run down to your booth right now and check it out?
Well, I'm going to give you an example from the Stevens Institute of Technology.
Okay.
They are using our technology to educate the next generation of financial analysts and money managers and people in the world of finance. And there's probably not much that is more data driven than the finance world, right?
Sure.
And you, if you're active in the markets, you need to have split second up to the minute
yes.
information. And you're not only relying on sort of one dashboard, there might be external weather factors or competitive
sure.
market situations or CNN or
too many variables.
There's so many things that could be coming together to impact the market moves that you're mm-hmm. making. And so with Mezzanine, they've basically flipped the script on how they teach in the classroom. So instead of it being the professor standing at the front of the classroom and telling someone how it is, they're giving the students projects. And because all the information they rely on is digital information, mm-hmm. they're giving students projects about, you know, here is your financial package. You need to be investing this. How mm-hmm. are you going to do it? What are you going to put your money on?
Mm-hmm.
So the students are actually leading the classroom process, the learning and education process, because they're literally bringing it all together themselves. And so the professor becomes more of a guide
mm-hmm.
and less of a lecturer.
I like that learning approach. I'm not the kind of person that can sit in a room and watch someone lecture for hours on end. I'm going to zone out. And thank God I didn't have electronics back when I was going to school, because I would have been checking Facebook or going on, you know, Instagram or something. I would have totally checked out. But if you put me in the driver's seat, I've got lots of opinions, and I'll tell you all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think most people are that way. And this is basically how to make digital hands-on, right? Like putting the power in the hands of the students to drive the education process.
That's fantastic. Well, Jen, I really appreciate you taking some time out of your day today to talk to us. If people wanted to find out more about you and your products, where should they go?
Definitely, you can find us online. We're at oblong.com. We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter at @oblong_inc. You'll find us also on Facebook at Oblong Industries and on LinkedIn at Oblong Industries.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To listen to all of our ISE coverage, visit our microsite at ravepubs.com/ISE 2019.